You're laughing and learning with the Inside Outside Guys on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Inside Guy Chuck Bridenstine and the Outside Guy, Ken Calverley.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust for the next 2 hours right here on AM 760 with the Inside Outside Guys. My name is Ken Calverley. I am the Outside Guy.
Good morning, everybody. Chuck Bridenstine, the Inside Guy. Happy to be with you. Truly happy to be with you. It's a beautiful morning. Sun came up.
It is a beautiful. You know what?
Sun comes up, I'm happier.
All I know is if I get in my truck and I have to put on my sunglasses, then it's a nice day. And I had to get in my truck and put on my sunglasses this morning.
Did you have frost on the windshield?
No, because I start my truck up before I go out.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, I love the automatic start. Boy, do I love that feature in my truck.
I'm not smart enough to use it. We've got it on every vehicle. We've had it forever, and I just don't use it. I don't know why.
There is nothing stupid like in a really cold day, which today is not really cold, you know, being in Michigan, but getting into a warm vehicle. Was it that cold this morning?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you know what I did notice? And here's what we can ask people to do during the break. During the break of our show, take a walk outside and take a look at your roof. Right now, probably more the north side of your roof. And take a look at all the frost on the top of your roof right now. And then notice any parts that may be melting faster than others. Around any penetrations, along the edges, maybe the middle. If those are melting more than the rest of the frost, it's a very simple fix. Go up there, find exactly where it is, and add some more insulation, right?
Ideally, yes.
Ideally.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny. That's a good observation.
It's very telling this morning. On a day like today, it's very telling, you know, what your roof will tell you on mornings like this.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about people that have slow water heaters. They're old. They work. They generate hot water. They just don't seem to generate it as quickly as it used to, so we'll chat about that. You and I have to finish up on a topic we started yesterday that actually was tied to our article on Friday in the Detroit News on air filtration systems for houses.
Yes. Boy, you look cold.
You know what? My hands are cold, but keeping my coat on has helped.
I've got my vest on, too. For you young people who don't know what cold is, cold gets colder as you get older. Is that fair to say?
You sound very poetic. Cold gets colder as you get older.
There you go. I tell you, the older I get,
you do a little rap song, an Inside Outside Guys rap album.
Right. Yeah, that would be me.
On the change of seasons.
Hey, we're going to take your phone calls. They're wide open. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. We also have a guest coming on just a little while.
I was just thinking about Chuck.
Yeah, from SPS Glass. And Chuck on our website is, if you go to our website, he's under Windows. You'll find SPS Glass under Windows, but don't call him for your basic Windows.
No.
Right? He doesn't do Windows like our friends at Window World or Clarkson Window and Door do. He does glass block windows, and he does easement windows, or getting out of your basement. If you're going to put a living space in your basement, this is something Chuck and I have talked about for years. It's the law that you need to have a egress, and he puts the egress windows in. But you know what? Guys like Chuck, he's just a hard worker.
He is.
Him and his crew, there's so many men out there that are just him and a couple guys, and they make a great living, and they do great work for our listeners. And he's done so many of these kind of windows, they're just like secondhand to him now.
I know, it's funny, if you've ever done one of those, I mean, especially with a poured wall foundation, cutting a hole in a poured wall foundation is a job in and of itself. You and I have talked about that.
I remember when the saws came out, and I guarantee Chuck has one, where it's basically a concrete saw that looks like a chainsaw. Yeah. And I remember looking at that thing, and I think it was 18 inches long, which meant you could get through, you know, a 17-inch wall. But I remember looking at that thing and just going, holy cow, that must beat you up.
I know.
Just holding that thing for that long, trying to cut a perfect square out of a wall.
Yeah.
It just must beat the crap out of guys.
It's funny. I've done it twice in my life, and it is work. And I know I could not do it now. I mean, but just the sheer mass of the piece you're cutting out to accommodate, you know, a buck and a window for means of egress in a basement, it's not a DIY job. Is that a
No, it's not a DIY. Actually, last week, buddy.
Chuck's a big man.
Yeah, you're right. There he is. This week, I had used a cutoff saw. So if people don't know what a regular cutoff saw, it's just a looks like a circular saw on steroids, but they're much larger, and they're gas-powered. Usually, cycle two oil is what they take. And I spent days using that, bending over using that. And end of the day, that just kicks
What kind of work were you doing?
Cutting concrete.
You're too old for that.
Well, no. When I was younger, I did that. I did it the other day. I had about 20 feet of concrete I had to cut.
Gotcha.
And it was right behind the house, in between a house and a pool. So there was not much wind going through. So I had my son take a leaf blower. As I was cutting, he was hitting with the leaf blower to get that dust farther away faster.
Gotcha.
Hey, I still get out there and do some work.
And that was a dry saw?
That was a dry saw, yeah. There was a lot of silica dust all over the place.
I usually trickle a hose when I'm doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. It just makes me...
I wondered why you were hacking up white stuff yesterday when we were doing the show together. And that'll do it. And you think of all the stuff we inhaled in our lungs back in the day before it was cool to wear safety equipment.
You are not kidding about that.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. You know what? The old days, I would cut and I wouldn't wear eye protection. I wouldn't put a mask on. I wouldn't put hearing protection on. I just wouldn't.
It was summertime. I didn't even have a shirt on.
Exactly.
99%
I was
of the
stupid.
Time. Yeah.
Now, there's a mask. Actually, there's two masks last time. Hearing protection.
Yeah.
And
I look like
protection.
I'm going to the moon now when I do that stuff.
Right.
It's funny. We cut into it. We were replacing a draft cooler in a bar, and we cut into the old one to demo it. And it was insulated with powdered charcoal.
Oh, no.
And I'm telling you, you cannot anticipate the mess that it makes.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, my goodness. I'll never forget it. Of course, we're young and dumb, and you could work hard, and you could handle it back then.
Probably but looked like you worked in a coal mine by the time.
Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. You know what's cool about that? We tripled the size of that draft beer cooler and used the exact same refrigeration unit that lasted another 20 years. I kept in touch with these people because we just upgraded the walls and the ceiling and the floor around it.
Gotcha.
And it was amazing. But tripled the capacity and kept the same refrigeration unit. I was so pleased with myself back then.
Well, the tools are very, very important when it comes to doing any kind of work, when it comes to contracting.
Yes.
And if you're doing foundation work, you know, to hand dig stuff and cut it with a saw, no, you don't want to do that. You want to get a company that has the means to have all the equipment to do it right and then give you a warranty second to none. And if you hear our voice, if you're in the state of Michigan, and you hear our voice, and you need any foundation work done, you need any basement waterproofing done, you want to contact Foundation Systems of Michigan. They are Michigan's largest foundation and basement waterproofing contractor, and they're a team partner of the Inside Outside Guys, Foundation Systems of Michigan.
You have housing questions? The Inside Outside Guys on WJR have the answers. Here are Ken and Chuck.
Welcome back, everybody. We have answers to questions you haven't even asked yet. So
You haven't thought of yet.
Yeah, I haven't thought. So we challenge you to ask them. I do want to make a comment to the effect that, once again, ours is an industry that is very high touch. Used to be the medical industry. You'd call a doctor, he'd come to your house, take care of whatever issue you had. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
For somebody to do a house call is a really big, expensive proposition that has a lot of liability attached.
Amen to that. People
but
don't
in our
understand
industry,
that.
That's all you do, right?
That's all you do. All
Everything's
you do.
A house call.
Everything's a house call. There's no such thing as a free estimate. Someone's going to pay for it.
And it's not a computer doing the work. It's a person. So on any given day, you might be the one person that gets an employee who's having a bad day and doesn't do things right. Is that the best way to say it?
Absolutely. It's a great way to say it. And, you know, people, and I mean this so nicely, just calm down. I mean, just calm down. Let me go over an email that we got just recently from a listener. Something like this.
That's pretty rare, by the way.
This is very rare. I will never trust you two again. I am so disappointed in the Inside Outside Guys. I heard you refer so-and-so on the air, and they did such a bad job for us. Our response to that, first of all, we've gotten those, and we're like, okay, please explain. You know, tell us what happened with
the job. Let's follow up with you on your behalf and try to get the company to make it right.
And that's what we always do. We'll always send it to whoever you email us about. We'll always send it to them and give them the opportunity to do it right. But we had one recently about one of our team partners that's been with us for years. And we have never had one complaint about them. No. Not one complaint. And this person was upset. I mean, they were very upset. And I remember you and I talking, that is not like this company. They just don't treat people this way. And you know what? I've said this 1,000 times, Chuck. For every one time someone out there has heard about a homeowner getting ripped off or treated badly by a contractor's been treated badly by a homeowner dozens of times. So we really want people to understand that it does go both ways. So once we talk to the contractor about this, they explain the situation. And bottom line, that homeowner was unreasonable. What they expected from them.
And it does happen.
And you and I have to be able to discern that and take a look. And if we think a contractor's wrong, we're going to say, look, you're wrong. Take care of this. But if we're thinking a homeowner's wrong, we're not going to punish one of our contractors. We're not going to stop referring them because one person didn't have a good experience with them. And here's where Chuck and I are at. I think 90% is a very fair number to continue to refer people. And as a contractor, to hit that number of 90% satisfaction. I think most of our contractors do 99% satisfaction.
I'm glad you said that because I totally agree that I think our people do, 99 out of 100 transactions go exactly as their people have been trained.
Yes, sir. And we understand, and we will always try to help people, even if it's not one of our team partners. You have an issue with somebody, and we had someone not too long ago that had a painter came in. We didn't even know this painter. And basically took advantage of the woman, and we helped her make her whole.
Yeah.
And we'll do that every time. But just understand that if you have a problem with any contractor, whether it's our team partner or not, we are here to help as much as we can. But we are going to be very fair about our assessment of the issue.
And give us as much information as you can,
there
too.
You go.
That is so important. You know, another issue that I'm reminded of as we talk about this.
We have a lot of issues.
We should both be in therapy. Actually, we are. We're married to women that are.
Yeah, we're both married to therapists.
Counselors.
That's even worse.
Is a situation where you ask for a lump sum bid on something. Now, here's a lump sum bid. I want this house built to this specification. What's my total cost? That's a lump sum bid, and that's probably what 90% of the industry.
Lump sum
bids.
Yep.
We will do this specification in this period of time for this much money. And we get emails on occasion from people that say, I want them to break it down, line item cost, every, you know what. And I respond, and I know you do too.
No.
I won't do that. I never would do that for people. It's none of their business. If you want to build it yourself, go out and do all the work I've done.
Amen.
To arrive at those costs, or give me $10,000, I'll sell you my proposal with the line items out in it, you know, outlined in it. Then you can take it and do what you want with it. But
I'd do that for a living if they let me.
You know what? I would gladly. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, you know, lump sum bid, you have no right to expect that, and a contractor has every right to say, no, if you want that specification, I'll build it for X dollars, and we can either do business or not.
And they make something else perfectly clear. The material that contractor brings onto your job. Under a lump sum contract, which is, like you said, most of the contracts out there. That's his material.
Mm-hmm.
If he's done with that job, let's say he ordered Culture Stone.
Good point.
And he's done with that job, and you see four boxes of Culture Stone sitting on the side, and you go,
27 2x4s.
Yeah.
Box of nails.
Those are not yours.
No, they're not.
And I have had really huge conversations with homeowners about this.
I have, too.
Yeah.
That's a great point you bring up. Yeah.
Because if I overbid something or I overbuy something, you're not going to get the benefit of that. There's no reason you would get the benefit of that.
Well, it's not even a benefit. It's a moot point. Let me use 2x4s as the example.
Yep.
If I buy a bunk of 2x4s, 250 2x4s.
Not a bunch, but a bunk.
Yeah. And I need 180 for the job. I bought a bunk because I'm going to use the best 180 pieces out of that bunk for your house. I will do what we call upgrading as we sort through the bunk. The rest of them I'll return for full credit from the place I bought it from.
Sure.
on my account. I'm not spending that money. I'm just hedging my bets so that I don't have to interrupt our workflow to put better material in your house. Extras aren't yours. Sorry.
No, I remember years ago we were doing two jobs that had the same stone on them, and they weren't far from each other. So I had all the stone delivered to one job site.
Oh, there you go.
And then in the morning, I had my guys back the truck up and start loading stone into to take over other job site.
I can imagine.
And I got a call that night, and the homeowner was, I mean, seriously calling me dishonest in every way, calling me dishonest. I did not answer that. She called me and she lets out my answer. I did not answer it that day. The next morning,
better to wait.
I knew what time she left for work in the morning. I was at her house at 8:10, and this is what I do, and I recommend people doing this. I broke out my phone and I said, "Listen, we have some confusion here, so I'm going to record this to make sure when this is all done, the confusion is not there."
Good.
Hit record and said, "Ma'am, those are not yours. Those are mine." And by the time it was done, she understood what I was saying.
Sure.
But my point to her was, if you have an issue at the beginning of the job, you don't call someone up and start calling them a ripoff artist.
Rant and rave.
Rant and rave, yeah. Especially at the beginning of
Ask
the job.
Ask the question.
We're going to continue this discussion after the break. We'll also take your phone calls. If you've ever had issues with any contractors out there, give us a call, 888-654-4897.
You know, a contractor that we just love, that I don't think we've ever had any kind of negative comments, nothing but positives about them, is Victor's Roofing, soon to be Victor's Home Solutions. We highly recommend, if you're going to have something done in your house in the next year, you call Victor's Home Solutions.
Here for you today and every day. This is the Inside Outside Guys on WJR. Here are Chuck and Ken.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Want to remind everybody that if you're going to create living space in a lower level, you must provide a secondary means of egress, either a door or an appropriate window.
I'm laughing because when I was a kid, nobody ever thought about that.
I don't think anybody knew about it, other than maybe the occasional builder or code enforcement official.
Yeah, my brother lived in the basement when we were a kid. And
I did, too.
Yeah, but you were small enough, you probably could have got out that window, couldn't you, when you were young?
If I'd have had to.
You would have had to, yeah. your britches might have been on fire, but you had
exactly.
to get out of it. But.
Might have had some glass shards in my rear end, but I could have gotten out if I had.
And let's make clear that this is a good law. It's a good code because of the tragedies that have happened for that situation over the years. And if you are in that situation, Chuck and I always talk about, if you need to create more space at your house, the least expensive way to do it is going down if available. But by going down, like Chuck just said, you have to have a means of egress, because if there's a fire upstairs, they're not getting up out.
You don't want them climbing the stairs into the fire.
Exactly. So one of the first things you're going to want to do once you decide that you are going to make your basement a livable space is contact our good friend Chuck from SBS Glass. And Chuck is on the line with us right now. And this is what Chuck does for a living. Chuck's a big guy. If you shake his hands, he squeezed your hands.
My body goes up and down when he shakes my hand.
Yeah,
my whole body goes off the ground.
And rough hands. You know, my wife, just recently I did some masonry work, and my wife held my hand. She goes, "Oh, I remember that feeling."
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chuck's
back
still,
when you were a man.
Yeah, right, like Chuck, right? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Good morning. How are you guys doing? How are you?
We are doing well. We are so blessed. You know, we see you at every show that we go to.
Home
and
show.
You have those big saws there. And you just always have a smile on your face, and I respect the heck out of that. I know Ken does, too. How are things going with you guys?
I'm going really well, actually, really well. We're still working. Actually, I'm on egress right now as we speak down here in Rockwood. So we're working 7 days a week trying to keep up with demand, you know, which is good.
Wow.
Well, that, I mean, right now is a great time to work hard, because with the holiday season's coming up, you're going to get a little break. Everybody will. But then we'll get about a two-week break and then back to the grind. Chuck, are the majority of your calls people who want to add a living space in their basement?
Yeah, we're still getting a lot of calls about that. You know, it's a great space to utilize. People are still, you know, working from home, want to utilize that basement space for an office, or they got a bunch of little kids that hang out down there. You never know what can happen upstairs, you know, especially right now. Everyone's putting up Christmas trees and this and that. I think a lot of people overpower their power strips, and you just never know what could happen right now. So it's always a good idea to have a means of egress just in case of an emergency.
Now, you know, it's SPS glass block. You install glass block and replace a lot of the, excuse me, technical term, crap that us builders have put in basements as windows. Is that a thriving business as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the bread and butter, egresses and glass block, you know. And these builders, they put in these standard little one-pane single glass windows, and they just they don't really do anything for efficiency and heat, and you get a lot of heat loss coming out of them. So we like to take that out, put a little glass block window in there for you, save you some money on heat costs, and make your basement a little warmer.
And safer.
Safer.
Definitely safer. Yeah. The glass block windows are wonderful for security because those windows you were just talking about, Chuck, there's no efficiency in them, and a three-year-old could kick them out.
If I wanted to break into your house, I'd have gone to a back dark wall with one of those windows and gently just pushed it in with my feet, and I'd have been in your house, and you wouldn't even know it.
Yep. But laying those glass block windows, when you don't do for the – I mean, the ones for the basement window, they come at – now they come pre-made. You can slide in. But you do have a lot of other glass block work, and people need to understand it's not like brick, because when you're doing courses of glass block, it's not soaking up any of the water whatsoever, and they like to swim. That really is an art. You really need to be patient to do that kind of work, don't you, Chuck?
That's a good point.
Yeah. I make my block windows in-house. I mean, I buy the individual block, and we build them to size with mortar in between each block, because that's what they're designed to take. A lot of these companies put in silicone's fine. You know, they just, I don't think it holds up as long as, you know, the mortar, because you think about a house that's built out of brick, and what's in between the brick? You got mortar in between a brick, and a brick house will last a long time. So I think of it as, if you're putting a window in there, you might as well put a quality made window with mortar in between each block, so you don't have anything. You're watertight, airtight, you know, nothing's coming in or out of that thing, and that's what you want.
I like that a lot.
Chuck, one thing that we see a lot is people who try to do an egress window or a themselves or some kind of egress out of the basement themselves. And the biggest mistake they make is the drain at the bottom of that window. Do you see that quite a bit? Do you find yourself going in and fixing that for people who either don't put those drains in right or don't put them in at all?
Yeah, I get a lot of calls where homeowners are just frustrated. They thought it should be easy to just cut a wall here and do that. So they say some stuff on YouTube, and it's just not, you know, it's not the right way to do it. I don't mind a good DIYer, but something like this, you definitely want to have a professional come do, because we do get all the way down to your drain tile. We make sure it works. We throw a bunch of water in there. If it doesn't drain as quickly as I like, then we call a company to get in there and to kind of hydrojet it or something like that. These are things that most general homeowners aren't aware of. You know, how fast it should drain and make sure it's draining correctly, make sure there's peystone down there and things like that. Or if there is a problem, then what do you do, you know? So we're able to make sure all that's correct. Yeah.
But so many of those are done wrong, and if anyone's ever had a flooded window well, it's either going to come in slowly or it's going to literally break the window from the pressure inside that window well. So that is one. I mean, when it comes to your job, that's one of the most important things you do, is making sure that water goes away fast.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen. I've had calls where people are like, hey, you know, the drain got plugged, or there just wasn't one in there, and the water built up and it cracked the glass. And we had, you know, I had customers call me and say there's like a waterfall into their home, you know, and we want to make sure that water inside the hose is not what you want. So we make sure we do whatever we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
Chuck, when you put an egress window in, you usually put a well in as well. Do you use like prefabricated fiberglass units or something like that?
So I use a steel well made from Bowman Camp. It's a heavy gauge steel. From my experience, I've seen those haven't bent or broken. You know, sometimes they get these plastic wells, which are, I'm not a big fan of them, but you can put them in. But this is, you know, steel's been around for a long time, and it comes with a strong grate cover that you can stand on. You know, a big guy like me, like you guys said, I'm a big guy, I can stand on it and I won't fall in, you know, and there's a plastic cover over that, so it keeps the debris, the leaves, the snow, rain, stuff like that out of your well. So we try to make it as user-friendly for the homeowner, so they don't have to go in there and keep cleaning out leaves and squirrels fall in or anything like that. So we try to make it.
That was my next question, and I'm glad you addressed the steel grate and the plastic cover, because I actually had a homeowner we worked for decades ago, a home builder, excuse me, and of course he had some egress windows and some areaways outside of that, and he put steel grates over those but no plastic covers. And wouldn't you know, the guy that bought the house had some special purebred hunting dogs. One of them ran too close to the house. His leg went down in the grate, snapped the leg. They had to put the dog down.
Oh, no.
And I'll never forget that as long as I live, you know, that you can put a cover over the top of that to prevent that from happening.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's the product I provide. I like to provide a whole solution for the customer so you don't have that kind of – I've had customers tell me that, you know, they don't have covers, and I've had guys tell me that, like, baby deer have fallen in or a skunk falls in or a possum falls in, and then all they're doing there is just scratching at your window trying to get out, and you don't want to have that problem. So we try to alleviate that.
Unexpected consequences. Boy, you talk about that. Chuck, you say you're down in Rockwood this morning. What geographical area, if someone's that, will you go to?
You know, we go everywhere. There's not a lot of guys that do what I do and do as well of a job as I do. So we were, I mean, you know, last week we were all the way out in China, Michigan, you know, up by New Baltimore and Algonac, and I've driven up to Flint, Lansing, down into, you know, down by the state line. So we go anywhere that needs to be done because, like I said, we want to make sure we provide a solution for the homeowner, get them a means of egress and so they can feel safe and up to code in their home.
We love your confidence, Chuck, and you're right. There's not a lot of guys that do what you do and do it right like you do. You've been helping our listeners for years now, and we have had such great feedback on the kind of work you do. So anyone out there that's thinking they want a living space in their basement or better security, because those glass blocks, they bring in more light, they bring in definitely more security, and they're going to keep your house warmer than existing blocks. So
yep.
If you're thinking about it, it's something that we definitely recommend people do. Chuck, thank you so much for coming on with us today. Thank you so much for taking such great care of our listeners. And can you please put out your contact information before you hang up with us?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on here. The phone number is my direct cell. You can contact me at 734 area code 320-1664. And again, that's 734-320-1664. You can also text me at that number because it is my direct cell.
And for people who are driving and didn't write that down, just send the Inside Outside Guys a email, and we'll make sure we get Chuck's contact information. Or you can just go to Windows, find a professional, go down to Windows, click on that, and you'll find SPS Glass Block there. Chuck, thank you so much, buddy. We greatly appreciate you, and we'll see you soon at the home show.
Stay safe, Chuck.
Yeah, we'll see you. Take care. Have a Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Yep.
God bless you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Genuine good guy.
Genuine good guy, yes. Genuine good guy.
And he is. He's a giant of a man.
Gentle giant.
Great attitude, and I love that he knows what he does well. He's a specialist. We like that.
He is, and he's the kind of guy that Chuck and I say, there's not anyone on the Inside Outside Guys that we would not let work on our own home, and Chuck is definitely at the top of the list. And here's another one, Chuck. Although you and I are not in his geographical area, if we were going to get our bathroom or our kitchen remodeled, we'd head over to Van Dyke Road between 16 and 17, and we would walk into Kopke Remodeling and Design and take a look at the literally thousands of different choices he has to make your house beautiful. One of the great professionals here in Southeast Michigan is Kopke Remodeling and Design.
Find professional contractors you can trust at InsideOutsideGuys.com. Now, once again, here are Ken Calverley and Chuck Bridenstine.
Having more fun on break than we I shouldn't say that. We have more fun doing the show, but we end up laughing and talking during breaks. And we were talking about Chuck. What a great, genuine, great guy he is. If you see him at the shows, his physical presence can be intimidating. Don't you agree?
Except he always has a giant smile on his face.
Well, he does. And again, I thoroughly enjoy the man, and I really respect the kind of work that he does.
Oh, me too.
Because I'm way too old to do the kind of stuff.
Me too.
And he's out working 7 days a week, just like most of our team partners. How cool.
You know, I remember when I did so much more of that. This time of year, I would work so hard because I knew. And it's like if I was going on vacation – I used to love working really hard the week before.
You guys take vacations?
Yeah, because I knew I had a few days off. And this time of year, guys are working real hard because in the industry, we're coming up on an extremely slow part of the year in the industry. So about a week before Christmas and a week after New Year's.
The weather has an impact.
Yeah, yeah, and so does the holidays.
The hunting season and the holidays.
Yeah. So, you know what? Good for Chuck. You know, hopefully he gets a chance to rest this winter and rest his bones because he's a hard-working man. And speaking of Chuck, we will take your phone calls, 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Any and all of your housing questions. Once again, let's go to Chuck in Roseville. Good morning, Chuck. You're on with the guys on WJR.
Good morning, guys. I got just a question. I had a floating floor wood put in my one bedroom, and it was put on my existing subflooring. And I'll walk in the bedroom and I hear cracking in certain areas, you know, like crunching. What would be causing that?
The Fritos that the installers use. No.
Yeah, they're eating underneath.
The yeah, which, to be honest with you, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't surprise
I
you.
Wouldn't be totally surprised. The floor never squeaked before? Crunched before?
No, never crunched.
I mean, if you're getting a sound that you never had before, then you have to assume, A, that the subfloor was properly installed and fastened before, and that there's something between the floating floor and the old subfloor. I mean, I was talking
to a friend of mine that's a carpenter, and I asked sure. him, and he said, is the floor level? The old floor. And I says, well, not really. I mean, it goes down a little bit because it's my wife's bedroom, and I have a wheelchair, and if I put it on one end, it actually come down, if you know. So yeah. he says, that's because it's a floating floor, that could be making the noise, you know, because of that.
If it's doing that, if they didn't properly, here's what happens. Like a lot of your old subfloors are OSB or plywood or something along the lines of that.
Right.
And everywhere you have a seam along the length, a longitudinal seam, you'll have a slight mm-hmm. rise often. And if those right. aren't sanded down, then a floating floor literally will be bridging a gap either side.
Teeter-totting
yeah,
over
every 8 feet. Yeah. Teeter-tottering is a great term, Ken. And that could literally be working where the individual planks connect with each other. The cracking you hear literally could be destroying the material where
each groove
piece interlocks exactly with each other.
Because I look at it when I step on it, and I don't see anything, you know, no gap in there. But it's only in a certain area, and it's not the whole floor. It's just when I walk in from the hallway into the bedroom, I hear this cracking, and I hear it all the time.
Take a longer stride and avoid that spot.
Yeah, and the problem with those, you know, the floors you have, you really can't do anything. You can't put a nail in there. You can't go underneath and grab it from underneath because it's a floating floor. But if you even got an area that's, you know, 12 inches that has a hundredth of an inch underneath it, if it's flexing, it's going to make some noise. So, heck, Chuck, the only thing I can think of is take it up, putting something level, that a floor level or up, but you don't want to do that. That's just way too much.
No,
work.
I mean,
no way. I had it done, you know, and a good company did it, you know. The guy did a good job. Matter of fact, you guys recommended the company, and they did a great job, but I just can't, you know, I don't know if it's because of the subfloors kind of cockeyed. And since this is a floating floor, you know, when it hits that area, there's a gap there, and it makes that noise.
What is your subfloor? You being in Roseville, I'm guessing your subfloor may be a hardwood floor. Is that possible?
It is. This house is almost 50 years old. So,
okay.
You know, okay, hard plywood, you know, 4x8 sheets.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then you could get that bridging we're talking about. The thing I guess I would long-term, if you can stand the sound, is to make sure that you don't get any separation along the length of individual planks, because that would tell you that the joint between them is breaking, and that's the sound. Otherwise, do you have a basement? Do you have access to that from below?
Yes.
Because in that one spot, if you felt comfortable doing it, you could drill a 3/8 of an inch hole up through the plywood and stop. Make sure you don't go through the new floor.
Yeah.
And no way. I ain't doing that.
And then take a can just a cheap latex caulk or something and shoot some up in there and leave it alone for 48 hours. And that might
if I'm noticing, and if I don't notice any cracks or anything, you know, splitting, I can live with the noise a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But I just want to. I just worry when I walk in there, I'm hearing this thing, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah, especially when you say cracking, crunching.
No, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a bigger concern. So I'd keep an eye on the individual planks.
Keep along the edges.
I will.
Yep. If you don't see any damage there, then I wouldn't worry about it. If you do, then I would suggest you go downstairs and attack it from below. And you want to use a cheaper latex caulk. You don't want to use a really high-grade glue or spray foam or something like that, because that can actually create more problems. Okay, Chuck.
Well, okay, guys. I appreciate your help, and you guys have a Merry Christmas, and God bless you.
God bless you. We appreciate you. Stay
well. He has blessed us. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, sir. Okay, here's an email we got the other day. We used Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning Services, and we could not be happier. I'm going to fast forward. I can tell you how grateful we are, as my husband and I are in our 80s, and we were probably moving to assisted living. We doubt that any other company would have done the same thing as well as Amnesty Air Duct Clean. Greatly appreciated. What can you say about that, right?
That's enough said.
Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning cleans your air, cleans your duct system, sanitizes your duct system, and can save you money. A great company, Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning.
It's the Inside Outside Guys on News Talk 760 WJR with housing information you can trust. Now here's the Inside Guy, Chuck Bridenstine, and the Outside Guy, Ken Calverley.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us today. I want to remind you that the phone lines are open for you right now, 888-654-4897. We'd love to hear from you live and in person rather than through an email. Not that we don't love the emails, right?
Yeah, keep the emails coming during the week, but right now the phone lines are open. We want to take any and all of your housing questions, 888-654-4897. Chuck, we just got another email. I'll mention some of the emails we've gotten. And it's a very simple email that somebody wants a person to come put a chimney cap on top of their chimney. And what they're talking about is something we call a rain cap or a critter cap. And you see them on almost every chimney. They actually hook right onto the terracotta tile. What do you think, Chuck, as a homeowner? You have that cap at your house and you want someone to come put it on, go up onto your roof on your chimney. And put that on. What do you think is a fair price to charge someone to do something like that?
Well, my house, I have really, really steep roofs. So it'd be different than if it was a 412 roof, you know, on a 30 by 50 ranch. But having said that, it'd be $400 to $500, $600 easily.
Just for a chimney cap, Chuck?
You bet.
You bet. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised what you're saying. And the reason I'm saying this to people is in most people's head, they think it's a chimney cap. You're going to go up there. You're going to take 5-10 minutes once you're up there. You're going to screw it on. Why would you charge me that much money? And let's play with that for a second. Because if somebody comes to you and says, I'll do it for $100, a lot of people, okay. Here's the question you should be asking yourself when that person says $400. Do you have any experience on roofs? Are you insured? If you fall off my roof, am I going to lose my house? Or do you have insurance to cover it? And
what's your roof worth?
Exactly.
If they screw up your roof.
Exactly.
What are your gutters worth if they put a ladder against them and bend them and loosen them and put a low spot in them where the ladder is leaned up against them? There's a million little considerations.
Little considerations. Yeah. And let's say you pay somebody $500 or $600 to do that. They go up there, they put it up, and we get a windstorm like we've been getting here lately. And you wake up one morning, and that cap is on the ground. You think that guy that charged you $100 is coming back to put it up?
He won't even answer his phone.
Exactly.
Especially when he sees that you call him.
Exactly. Let's say you get a company like Brickworks Property Restoration to come out, and they do something like this, okay? Brickworks puts that up there. They know how to do it right. And one thing that I was talking to Daryl over there recently about those. When you put those up, you just get a little bit of construction adhesive, and right where that bolt meets the terracotta, you just put a little dot of construction adhesive up against there. And if it flies off, first of all, it won't if you do that. But if it flies off, Brickworks Property Restoration is going to come back. No questions asked. They're going to put it back up there. You're going to make sure it stays up there right. They're fully insured, fully licensed. If someone gets hurt, You have zero liability, and you as a homeowner have to figure out what is that worth to you.
Oh,
And to you and I?
Yeah.
It's worth $400 or $500, $600.
It absolutely is. And the cost of having a person in your vehicle, you know, your $35,000, $40,000, $50,000 vehicle out there with materials and supplies and tools in it,
yeah,
is high. So, yeah, we get a lot of people. I'm looking for somebody really good and reasonable. And, hey, you and I are both homeowners.
Good, honest, and reasonable.
Yeah. And reasonable is a relative term, right? We know they're referring to price and that they're using the word reasonable instead of cheap. But anybody that's truly professional today is not cheap.
Good.
It might be a better value than another company. But nobody that's good and is going to be there and, like you said, would come back and take care of a problem.
Right.
No one like that is going to be cheap. And we don't expect them to be.
No, we don't.
No.
No, we don't. I can't tell you how many times I've said to my wife, honey, I was never the cheapest guy out there. I don't want to buy the. I don't want to pay for the cheapest guy out there.
In I'd other be words, insulted.
I've always been willing
to
pay
for the cheapest guy out
yeah.
there.
Oh, exactly. But I've always been willing to pay for the best. You know, when it came to something I needed at my house, I wasn't going to get the cheapest price. I was going to get what I felt is the best value. And what we're just saying is what is the aftercare worth? And if you get certain guys that you don't do the follow up worth, you're not going to get any aftercare. Chuck, I've told this story many times about a painter. That I knew wasn't licensed working on my neighbor's roof years ago. And I remember looking at this painter up on the peak of this roof being so dangerous, calling my neighbor and saying, you know, he does not have insurance. Okay, thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Bye. Okay, I told you.
Oh, well.
I was just trying to protect him.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of people getting up on ladders at your house, but a lot of people are doing that with Christmas lights.
Yeah.
We actually have a professional company that will do that and install really good accent lighting that is programmable. So it can be Christmas lights 1 month. It can be Easter lights 2-3 months later. It could have been Halloween lights a month ago.
4th of July.
And they're all the same light. Yeah, 4th of July. You could have mimic fireworks going off on your eaves. But we got a company that'll do that. It's a one-time install. It's a professional install, and they are one of those fully insured and licensed companies.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Christian's Gutters.
Yeah,
Christian's Gutters. And I tell you what, take a look at their website. They've got a beautiful website that talks about that accent lighting. And you put it up one time, and you never worry about it again.
It's a great idea.
It is.
The guy's a genius because he's specializing in a niche that you and I hadn't thought of, and it's in big demand. They're busy.
Yes. You know, if you're an adult, maybe my age, younger, Chuck's age, and you always struggle what to get mom or dad at home, and they're growing, they're getting older. We're all getting older.
And they want to stay in their house.
Maybe you have someone like Barrier Free Plus come out and give them a free evaluation on things they may need in their home to help them stay more comfortable in their home as they age, because that is Barrier Free Plus's specialty, is helping variously abled people in their home and people who are getting older stay in their home. It's a great gift. Check them out, Barrier Free Plus.
You have housing questions? The Inside Outside guys on WJR have the answers. Here are Ken and Chuck.
Welcome back. We appreciate you being with us, Ken and Chuck, and you. Without you, we got nothing. I want to remind you, the phone lines are open for you through the balance of the show, which, man, it's going by quick.
It is. 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. Okay, you're really good at keeping notes. You always have been really good at keeping notes.
If I don't write stuff down, I don't remember.
You forget it, don't you? But yesterday we had a caller. So look at your notes. What was her name? That called yesterday about, it was a very nice lady who said she had a new air conditioner put in. And once the air conditioner put in, when it was first turned on, her...
Lynn,
thank you. Her apartment filled with smoke. And she's had a bad odor ever since and headaches. And we are going to say thank you to a couple of emailers that, you know, you mentioned it, Chuck, if you don't write it down, you forget it. And we do forget, because as soon as they sent us an email, we both went, why didn't we think about that?
Both of these were professionals.
Yeah.
In the trades.
Yeah.
That said, I've run into this before. You might want to suggest blank. And it was great advice, and we're going to pass it on to the rest of our listeners, right?
It is. It is. And whenever you have that new furnace put in, new air conditioner, and you smell those smells, I guess one of the first things you should do is get a carbon monoxide test, get a carbon monoxide detector, and make sure that's not the issue. Because, heck, you can have a carbon monoxide leak for days, weeks, months, years, and not know it. And just always have a headache and wonder where it's coming from.
Yeah, it's poisonous. It's not always deadly yes. in the moment. The issue, of course, is that if you've got a leak, it'll never get better. It'll only get worse. And the one thing Lynn described to us was that she was having headaches, and that triggered the response from a couple of listeners. And big believer. Call DTE. They have a residential assistance number. You can find it on their website. We can give it to you right now. It's 800-477-4747. So it's an easy number to remember. 800-477-4747. Residential assistance. Explain the issue, and they will tell you what to do moving forward. And, of course, in Lynn's case, it was property maintenance guys that did the install, so yeah. It wasn't a company. Because if it was Sharon's, I'd call Sharon's. They'd come right back out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if it was CNC, they'd come right back out. In this case, I would certainly put the landlord on notice of the issue. But I agree with you. Get a CO2 test. Call DTE. Have them send somebody out.
Yep, just wanted to follow up with that. Hey, let's go to the phones. 888-654 guys. We'll start with Bill in Hamtramck. Good morning, Bill. You're on with the guys.
Well, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I need help.
Anytime. Okay, we're here for you.
I have an old house, 1926, so it's got the wet plaster walls. And ever since I moved in, they've been having a problem, and you just take it for so long, and then you can't take it anymore. And I can see that there's two or three coats of paint on a wall. It's spider cracks everywhere. I have filled those cracks in the past with spackling, painted over it. Don't remember if I put a primer over that. I'd like to think I did, but it's still happening, and it's pink paint underneath the white, so you get to see it, and it's a high gloss. And that's in two rooms. In one room, I got a like slashes in there, but it's the same thing. You look in the cracks and you see a high gloss, a dark paint underneath. So I'm not sure what to do. Should I be using spackling again and oil-based primer or what? Because I hate to strip because I know it's lead paint.
Yeah, a lot of times you can have issues on surfaces where you combine a high gloss, especially in an enamel.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. over another surface that isn't actually bonding to, it's laying on top, and then it'll manifest with cracks, spidering, spider webbing, whatever you want to call it. It's funny, we learned this from somebody that hand paints signs years ago. And of course your professional painting companies like Macfarland or Certapro would verify that for you. So I would look there first. You might also, with the wet plaster, you don't have any humidity issues in that old house, do you?
No, I don't. I have a radiator heat, so for the wintertime, your humidity gets low. Well, I got a humidity gauge. People just put pot of water or something on a radiator, and it gives
sure.
you humidity. That works. But I'll be doing the work myself, so that's why I didn't want to deal with lead paint, because I know they can get into your system. It's not a healthy thing. So
it can, and in a house of that vintage, it's a reasonable assumption that maybe one of those layers of paints is a lead-based paint. So I would proceed assumptively that you're dealing with that if you're going to get in there and do some sanding.
You can test those as well.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Yeah.
So there's no okay. easy way of filling the cracks and maybe going with an oil-based primer. Would that stop that from moving on that? Two or three layers underneath it, you know, the high gloss, would that stop it doing that?
I would suggest that it will not, that you're going to need to rough that surface up and prepare it to accept a bonding primer.
And then go from there.
Yeah, and then go from there.
Is bonding primer oil-based or latex?
You can buy either today. I mean, it's fascinating what they've done with
Kills has them both.
Yeah, with those paint products today.
Oh,
and we would buy from a professional paint distributor. Big believer.
Okay.
You know, a Mercury or Benjamin Moore or, gosh, I can't think of them.
Sherwin Williams, Behr.
There you go. Actually, okay. Behr was voted, okay. Paint with the highest consumer confidence through Reader's Digest survey this year. But yeah, so you're going to need to make sure you adequately prepare that surface for a good bonding primer and then make absolutely sure that your primer is compatible with your finished coat. And that's why we would deal with a professional store.
Bill, we hope they helped, my friend. You have
Fair
a
enough.
Great day.
Can the crack be filled with plaster first?
Sure. I mean, if you need to level the surface, absolutely. And then do your sanding and wall prep after that.
Okay. Hey, thank you guys so much for the help. Appreciate it.
Thank You're welcome, you. Make Bill. Sure you use a low water filler. Something that has a chemical additive in place of water so that it doesn't shrink, because shrinkage is the biggest issue you're going to deal with.
And they can help you out with that at the paint store. Hey, let's stick to the phones. Let's talk to Terry from Temperance. You there, Terry?
Yes, I am.
You've been very patient, hey, sir. How can we help you?
Yeah, good morning. Two questions for you. Concrete sealer and expansion joint caulk. I've got a better part of a gallon of V-Seal sealer. I don't know what you recommend.
Yeah, is this for you're going to put on your driveway?
Actually, for a patio.
Okay. Patios, I would suggest a high gloss. Is it just regular concrete, or is it a decorative concrete, or decorative pavers?
Just straight concrete.
Yeah, you know what? Then you don't need the high gloss. All you need is a matte finish if it's just regular concrete. Any builder supply will have that for you. You can get a water-based. And for the joints, you can go to any big box store and get a product called Sika Flex, which is a polyurethane trowelable caulk. And that will fill the cracks of the joints. And then a water-based sealer for the concrete itself.
Joint caulk. I've seen that name before. So okay, very good.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, God sir.
Bless
Thank you,
you
for
Terry.
Being so
Thanks.
Patient.
You know, you and I were talking about Bye-bye. People stringing Christmas lights. Look, if you don't have adequate outlets, you don't have GFCI protection on those outdoor outlets, you don't know what size wires to use, you're going to install heat tapes on the eaves, anything that deals with electricity, you and I recommend a professional company, right?
We do. Whether you're changing plugs, wiring a new house, or a new standby generator, we want you to contact Lake Point Electric.
Here for you today and every day. This is the Inside Outside Guys on WJR. Here are Chuck and Ken.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. I want to remind you the phone lines are open, and we're going to go to the phones. 888-654-GUYS. Should be programmed into your cell phone anyway, right?
Should be. Yep. Let's go to the phones. Let's start with Pat from Lakeport. Good morning, Pat. You're on with the guys.
Hi. Good morning. I've got an idea about throwing some salt into my gutters to keep them from freezing up, but I know you can't use rock salt. Is there a safe salt or any type of safe salt that I can use?
Now, safe for what is the question? I mean, the salts are safe for your gutters. You just don't want them on your shingles.
Yeah, and they might create
or my grass
temporary
or pests.
Yeah, it could hurt. Definitely, if you put salt in your gutters and those gutters drain onto your grass, they're going to kill the grass where they're draining.
Or shrubs
or anything else.
And if they're aluminum, well, even steel, they're going to. I can guarantee you, they're going to eventually create problems. So you want to like sprinkle salt in the bottom of the gutters?
Yeah, tell us why, Pat.
Yeah, just trying to keep my gutters from freezing up. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, then you know,
the problem with that
quite
is
quite often in like last spring had real bad rains, and the gutters were frozen, and so where was the water going? You know, so
right.
We're with you there.
Pat,
I understood is that there was some types of salts that are less corrosive. You don't want to throw rock salt in there, so
correct.
There might be other
ice melters. that are less corrosive, like a magnesium chloride, something like that. But what if you have straight runs for those gutters, maybe just two elevations, I would get some heat tape or heat cable. They are so easy to attach. And if you take one of those heat cables and just run it along, you know, the bottom of that gutter, you can just plug it in on the days that you need it.
Yeah.
And it will melt that ice. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. If we get a really bad snow, every house out there has a giant ice dam across the entire front of their back and front. And it's probably 6 inches high. And that's what you're talking about.
Especially if you're north elevation, right.
I mean, the best thing you could do is a heat tape to melt those gutters when that happens.
You know, you can go into a Farm and Fleet or something like that.
Tractor Supply.
Tractor Supply. They'll sell 200-foot strands of that stuff pretty darned affordably.
Oh, really?
You go into a specialty shop, it's going to cost you twice as much. But if you go into a store like that, they've got great product, you know, because farmers need that stuff for their barns in particular.
Oh, yeah,
and their animal sheds,
And we're okay with using mechanicals to help stuff like this, because there are instances where people have ice dams where it gets up on their roofs, and we'd rather see you find a way to melt it than to get up there with a hammer or axe or do something like
that. Or do some damage.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about putting something into your gutters, it would be a magnesium chloride, something like that. But we would definitely recommend you try a heating cable first. You're going to be very surprised how easy they are to install and how affordable they are.
Yeah, especially
do you actually attach those underneath the gutter?
No, I'd lay it right in the gutter.
Yeah, there you go. You can lay them right in the gutter. You can attach them to the gutter, whatever you want, but I think Chuck's right.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's pretty much waterproof then. So
they're meant for exterior exposure. They're meant to actually fasten to the eave of your roof. And be exposed to snow and ice and water on a regular basis.
Okay. That sounds good. And thanks for your help. Yeah.
Hey, you're very welcome. That's what we're here for. Yeah. Good luck, buddy. Good luck. Hey, let's next talk to Yvonne, please. Yvonne from Detroit. How are you, ma'am?
Pretty good, sir. How are you both?
We are doing fantastic. How can we help you today?
Yes, I have an old home. It's approximately 200 years old. It's off of West Grand Boulevard. I'm having a problem with my piping going upstairs to the upper flat. And I was told I need to have repiping done so that the water will flow upstairs. I was wondering if you could recommend someone or a plumber or a company that could come out and give me an estimate.
Sure, we can. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not unusual in a home of that age for the pipes to just be corroded, much like you hear people's arteries in their body, you know, get full of stuff and the blood isn't flowing in a house. It's the pipes and the water stops flowing.
Right, right. Do you have a pen handy, ma'am?
Do I have what, sir?
A pen handy?
A pen,
you write
down
this number?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The company is Waterwork Plumbing, and the phone number is 248-213-7513.
7513. And that was Waterwork Plumbing?
Yes, ma'am. Great friends of the show that we've been referring them for years with just phenomenal results. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, while you're on the line, you had read off for crawl space. I think you said it was the basement plus, and I have the phone number. I had some work done approximately 3 months ago. I ran into a huge problem, and it was fixed, but the trouble that I was extended to me was severe. I wonder if I could have them come out and just take a quick look and see if it was done properly, or do they do that type of thing?
You know, for them to come out and inspect someone else's work is a lot to ask. I think what we'd rather have you do is call a friend like Terry Russell from Blessed Assurance Home Inspections, and he can come out and take a look at it.
You'll get an objective opinion from Terry. And that's what you want. You want someone to look at it and give you honest input. And I guarantee you, he knows houses like nobody's
business. Because I had reported to my insurance company, but apparently they don't cover the extent of the work that was done. So I was just wondering, can I have his number or their number?
You sure can. Here we go. 248.
Okay.
722. Yep, 722. 4288. 4288.
4288. And that name again, yes, sir?
Is Blessed Assurance Home Inspection. And you're going to talk to Terry Russell.
Okay. And you said it was Blessed Assurance, was that right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So while he's out there, while Terry's out there, because he's going to have to charge something to come out and take a look at this for you, and he probably has a minimum charge. So you may want him just to take a look around your entire property, and then you can make a list of things that may need work now or may need work in the future. So that's just a suggestion. If you're going to have Terry out, have him inspect the house.
That waterworks plumber, I will call them in the morning. They can give me, come out and give me a price. I imagine they do charge an estimate to come out, or do you know?
They won't charge you for an estimate.
No, I wouldn't. Nope. Oh.
No. But I appreciate that you thought of that.
Okay, you have
a
great day.
I appreciate it.
God bless you, Yvonne.
Thank you, Yvonne. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I do believe we have time to talk to Bob from Jackson. Good morning, Bob. You're on with the guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. How can we help you?
Fire station. Good. I bought a fire station, and it's got had a bathroom. And I cut the concrete out, had to put new pipes in, new drains in. And I want to know what type of linear drain instead of a just a regular floor drain for a shower you would recommend.
You mean like a channel drain? Is that what you're thinking?
Yep. Yep, because I want to be able to, you know, like in the future, if you ever had to have a wheelchair, you'd be able to go in and out of the shower with no barriers, floor barriers.
So, yeah, channel drain is what we would recommend. And they actually come in like 2-inch wide by as long as you can get them, because you buy them in like 18 to 2-foot length. They can slide into each other to attach, and you can cut them off. So a channel drain would be your best bet for that.
You can buy those in a heavy plastic, and you can buy them in a stainless steel that's more expensive.
Yep. Yeah. I'm installing some exterior right now. Say again?
Any supply place do you recommend? Or
a plumbing supply in Jackson is what I would look at. And if you can't find one, contact the home builders there and talk to Lauren. He'll refer you to somebody you trust.
Any supply plumbing health. Hey, listen, if you're looking outside and you see your drapes starting to blow because it's been so windy outside, you notice what you have, what's called a window fire, where it looks like there's smoke between the windows, there's condensation. You know you need new windows. You know you need to call Window World.
Find professional contractors you can trust at InsideOutsideGuys.com. Now, once again, here are Ken Calverley and Chuck Bridenstine.
Yeah, but only for a few more minutes today. We appreciate your calls. We want to remind you we're here for you 24/7 at InsideOutsideGuys.com, Inside Outside Guys on Facebook, and, of course, every Friday in the Homestyle section of the Detroit News.
Okay, Chuck, get wound up. We got to go here soon. We'll take any and all of your phone calls for the next couple of minutes. 888-654-4897.
You were talking about window problems and window issues.
Yes.
We've got a couple of great companies. You mentioned Window World, J&E Installations. Those guys are fantastic, especially if you have Pella or Anderson Windows.
Yeah, they're the experts, aren't they?
Yeah. And then our buddy, Mr. Weaver, over there at Clarkston Window and Door.
He has a great story, doesn't he? He always has great stories.
He's a fun guy to sit with.
Yeah, and he's been a hard-working person since he was a little kid. His father raised him right, but he's been in the window industry from day one, and he has an absolute beautiful window. So if you're thinking about windows, go over to Cesar Chavez Highway in Pontiac, just off of the Woodward Loop, and they have a phenomenal show.
Can't miss them. Really?
You really can.
I remember accidentally driving by it and going, oh, they're right there. They're easily accessed. Truly for all of the Tri-County area. So, good reminder.
Yep. Now, Bob just called in and asked about a drain for his shower. And we recommend
A fire station.
Yeah, he did. You know, we didn't even ask him about it. He bought how cool.
Up on him.
I just want to know if the pole's still in there. That's all I'd want to do.
Why?
That pole. What do you mean,
you want to buy it for your wife?
Oh, my gosh. What's wrong with you?
What are you asking about a pole?
Because I want to go up and down a fire pole. I was a kid at one time.
I want to see you go up a fire pole.
What are you saying about my wife about a pole?
I want to see you go up a fire pole.
You can't believe can't believe you brought my wife. Honey, if you're listening, I don't offend you. You can be offended. That was Chuck.
You're digging the hole. Boy.
Yeah, I'm digging the hole. You mentioned my wife in a fire pole. Give me a break. Anyhow. where were we at?
Where were you?
You got me distracted. Oh, the channel drain.
You were thinking
the channel
Foundation
drain.
Solutions 360. I know you were. I saw your notes.
Yeah. Well, they also put a lot of drains in as well. But a channel drain, they go interior or exterior. And we see channel drains a lot on buildings that have bad grade issues. So for grades going back to a building, and they put a parking lot or a driveway in, and they cannot get that grade to go away, they will put a channel drain, which is an elongated drain for exterior.
The same on the freeway with the concrete medians.
Yeah, you're right. In between. You're right. And that's just a great way to solve those issues. And what Bob was saying is if he puts one in the shower, those wheelchairs can just, you know, wheel right over those when need be. So. Yeah. They're a great option for ways to get rid of water when there are no other ways.
They are, and quite honestly, when they're properly installed, they're extremely attractive.
Yes.
They can actually enhance the appearance instead of the standard circular drain or two that you might put in the shower.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you're right.
And that allows you to have a consistent, though minor, slope in a shower, because typically a ceramic shower is sloped, how do I say this, toward that center drain such that it can be a danger to an older person with mobility issues, whereas the very, very, very low consistent slope of a shower floor running toward a channel drain is safer.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you. I agree. In the couple seconds we have left, Chuck, you had mentioned water heaters earlier.
Slow. Yeah, it's like it's slowed down. It's not heating as fast as it used to.
Yeah.
But it still heats. And it still gets hot eventually.
Yep. According to Family Handyman, a water heater's life expectancy is 15 years. Yeah. And we know a lot of people out there that have 30, 40, probably close to 50-year-old water heaters out there. And slowing down, Chuck, today those things are, I don't want to say giveaway prices, but they're nowhere near as expensive to buy and install as they used to be.
I think there are some great buys out there on standard gas and electric units that are not super high efficiency.
Yep.
Because those are the expensive ones.
Yep, absolutely.
And what happens is, you know, they get crusted over with minerals over time, that interior tank, and most of those minerals, the thickest mineral deposits, are right above the burner. So it takes longer for the heat to get to the water and heat the water up. And that's usually what slows them down, if you will. They're still fully functional.
Yes.
They don't need to be replaced. They're not leaking. They just aren't heating as fast. Here's a trick. If you've got that unit and put the money in the bank for the replacement, because eventually you're going to have to replace it,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
But you get ready to take a shower or a bath. Go up there and run your hot water faucet for a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then shut it off, and then 5 to 10 minutes later, take your shower or your bath. Because what you did was you triggered the response of that unit to turn on and fire up and start heating water.
You brought the hot water up to the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that 100%. You know, years ago, when our good friend, Detroit radio legend, Dr. Joe Gannon, was on the show, he had mentioned how him and a friend had cut a hot water heater in half. And he said that if people were able to do that with their hot water heater right now, they probably wouldn't drink that water.
Oh, you're
right. Because
it
is nasty inside of that water heater.
We had one in our lab at the school, and you're right. Just like you and I have talked about looking at the pipes that deliver your water.
Right.
It's like if you looked in those pipes, I don't care if you're on a well or city water, if you could see inside those pipes, they look, oftentimes they look like sewer lines. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. What?
I know, you're right. Raw sewer lines. Yeah, you're right. Hey, you know, if you have not gotten your hose wrapped up, maybe put some protection over your outsized hose bibs, make sure you take time to do that, because we're going to start getting some cold weather. And it can be 32 degrees outside. You get close enough wind, those pipes are going to freeze. And if you get a bursted pipe inside of your house that is a result of you not properly maintaining your hose bib, shame on you. There's just no reason for it. If you go out today, even though it's cold outside, it will take you less than 5 minutes to secure that hose bib. We like those little styrofoam cups that go over top of them, especially if that hose bib is on the wind side of your house.
Oh, and if you haven't drained the hoses, make sure you disconnect them from the hose bib.
Yes.
And just string them out to their full length such that any water in them can run downhill. It has very slightly downhill. It doesn't take much. And then 2, 3, 4 days later, roll them up and put them away for the winter.
Yeah. If you go outside, make sure you put your patio furniture away. If you have any patio tables that are too heavy, lift them up on an angle. Get them on an angle so when the snow hits them or rain hits them, it melts off them quick. You go to my backyard, I've got a wooden swing. I always take it off. I put it on an angle. I got a couple of picnic tables that I just put up on their edge. But I always put stone underneath them because I don't want them resting in grass all winter.
Well, even our camper, we used to do that.
Yeah.
I would jack up the front end and face the rear to the south because that's where the sun's going to come from in the winter.
Yep.
So, again, any snow that got on that roof would be exposed to the sun and melt off, and you never got an accumulation on it. And it's a great suggestion to do it with furniture.
Everybody, winter is coming. Get ready. Bottom line, get your equipment ready. Get yourself ready.
What did you look early this morning? The 21st is the winter solstice.
Yep, which is the
first day of winter.
First shortest day of winter. So soon we're going to start seeing the days getting longer, and we're looking forward to it. Hey, everyone, see you next Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. In the meantime, if you need anything for your home, we mean anything for your home, go to theinsideoutsideguys.com, the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook, because from the roof to the basement, the street to the back fence, if you need it, the Inside Outside Guys are here for you today and every day.
Thank you all so much. And Danielle, thank you back at World Headquarters for making this whole thing work for us. Bye-bye.